Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Save the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
Welcome to Save the Cowboy, everybody. Good morning. Can you meet, like, people down in Texas that I talk to, they just still don't understand that it hadn't snowed here in like 9 days and it's still this deep in the pastures. Siri told me the other day I was trying to dig a dog pen out and it'd been 6 days since it had snowed. My heart rate was about 1,050 according to my Apple Watch, and I'd moved one step. Good grief, man. I have a stack of albuterol inhalers just taped to the side of the wall so I can go up and use it like a gerbil. So anyway, it's good to see everybody here today. It's a beautiful, cold, 32-degree morning in Kiowa, Colorado. If you're joining us on the interweb, welcome. We are located in Kiowa, Colorado, which is about, as the crow flies, about 30 miles southeast of Denver or northeast of Colorado Springs. Got a great view of the Rocky Mountains from where we're at, and big cattle country, so it's good to see everybody here. Last week was the snowstorm, so we had about half this number of people. We got a full house here today, so we've got a baptism today, which is always just fills all of us up. So anyway, before we get too far into it, let's start off with prayer. God, I thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for us by sending your son to live a perfect life and forgive us of our sins. And God, help us to strive just every single day to quiet our minds and our hearts and just put them both on you. And just have faith that you ain't going to tell us turn right, turn left. You're just going to guide us. And we have to have faith that you are guiding us, God. And I pray that everybody's faith is increased today so that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we continue this struggle. Until one day, every single one of us that believe in him will be reunited in perfection until there is no end. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Whenever I was a younger fella, I was working, and I guess I lived about two hours from home, something like that, but my dad, it was kind of right out of high school. I'd worked on a couple of big ranches. And anyway, this guy that I knew, he'd found out that my dad worked on the Rocker B Ranch. And he'd read about the Rocker B and Western Horsemen and stuff like that. And he told me, he's like, man, I'd really like to see that ranch sometime. And I said, well, next time I go home for the weekend, why don't you just come with me and we'll go scout about horseback. He's like, oh, man, I'd love that. I'd love that. So anyway, we found a weekend, and it was in the fall, and it was nice, cool evenings, you know, in December in Texas. And so we saddled horses up, and I really didn't know this guy that well, but like for all intents and purposes, man, this guy was all there. I mean, he knew everything. So we got out there to the house, and here's a string of horses, and I tell my dad we're going to go riding. So I picked the one that kids have to, not kids that don't know how to ride, kids that really do know how to ride. So I rode the bucking horse, in other words, right? But I didn't really know this guy this well, so I thought, do I give him a good ranch horse, or do I give him the kid horse? Well, he ain't going to know which one is which, so I gave him the kid horse, just to be on the safe side. And so anyway, we got going, and I'm on this horse, and this other fella's following me, and we go down into what's called Centralia Draw. Many of y'all watching online might know exactly where this is at. And we went down into Centralia Draw, and we jumped up some javelina. Now, if you don't know what a javelina is, it's like a wild hog, right? It's not a pig, it's a javelina. And so as young kids do, I was going to try to rope one of these things. Well, you've never been in Centralia Draw. You can't swing a rope, much less rope something, right? You got to like drive by and just drop it down because there's no swing and it's just all brush. But anyway, found these pigs. I grabbed my rope. I said, let's rope one. And he's like, yeah. And we went tearing off through the brush and everything. And I lost the pig, of course. And he was behind me. At least I thought he was. So I kind of pull up and I look around and this dude ain't nowhere around. And then I hear some crash, crash, crash. And then I hear, just screaming, not a high-pitched scream, but like a man scream. And I'm like, he is being drugged through the brush by a stirrup or something like that. And so I start riding, you know, I can't see him, I can just hear him, so I'm riding through there. And there was a clearing, which meant there wasn't a tree for like this far. And through this clearing come this guy, and my kid horse is at a fast trot. The split reins are on the ground, and he has a death grip on both saddle horns, just screaming his head off. Well, I can play that game too. So I dropped my reins and grabbed the saddle horn and kicked my horse and started screaming. It was right after that I realized he wasn't playing. He didn't think it was funny. And it was a really tense weekend after that. Because see, I had accidentally humiliated someone whose dream it was to ride a horse on a big ranch. And his dream had quickly turned to humiliation. See, he seemed like he was the real deal. I mean, like, seriously, if he was to walk in here right now, he's a good cowboy now. He was just one of those guys that always had the dream, but just never really the opportunity. And so he grew into his dream without any experience in his dream. And me, being stupid, thinking that this cowboy was just, I kind of figured it was like if Ty was doing it, you definitely know he was laughing about it. Or lost his mind, but, you know, one of the two, right? But this guy, man, when you visited with him, he had lots of opinions on some pretty deep cowboying philosophies. I mean, he really did. You talked to him, it sounded like he knew what he was talking about. I mean, he knew about horse lines. I didn't even know the difference between papered and graded until I was 48. Papered horse. He had lots of opinion on horse lines, training methods, and he could even tell you how to start a colt. But he couldn't ride a kid horse trotting through brush, right? He'd argue with you about some of this stuff until the sky turned blue. I learned then that lots of opinions don't equate a lot of experience. Lots of opinions don't mean lots of experience. Lots of opinions just means lots of opinions. You'll run across Christians like that too. For all intents and purposes, man, they look the part. They can talk about this, they can talk about that, they can talk about this, but when it comes time to chase and javelina through the brush, both reins are on the ground, they got a death grip on saddle horn, and they're screaming their bloody head off because they don't know what they're doing. Because there's people like that. You'll run into them in the cowboying world. You'll probably run into them in your whatever occupation you have. Boy, they act like they know what they're talking about, but when it comes down to it, they just really don't. And one thing that I've learned is that nobody is better at Christianity than the brand new Christian. A new Christian knows everything. Right? I have had brand new Christians come up and tell me, as 16 years of professional ministry, that I'm doing it wrong and I don't know what I'm talking about. Right? Like, well, wait a minute. What are you? And the thing is I've been dumb enough to have some pretty serious arguments with people that didn't care what the Bible said. You know, they'd come up and they'd say, well, you're wrong about this. And I was like, no, I'm really not, because this is what the Bible says right here. And they're like, I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I believe. Oh, so the Bible doesn't matter, it's just what you believe, right? And I've argued with people like that. And I've run across cowboys. Boy, just their way of doing it is the only way, and everybody else is a moron. And I've argued with people about stuff like that. Am I the only one that argues with people that you shouldn't be arguing with? In the grand scheme, is anybody else a moron, or is it just me? You notice I didn't call everybody else that was doing that a moron. I called myself a moron for arguing with people that don't know what they're talking about. And we fall into that trap all the time. Listen, if you can understand some of that, you can understand this. Some people have a strong faith, and some people have a weak faith. Okay? And I think that sometimes faith is like, I think that some people look at it as you either have it or you don't. And that's not really the case with faith. Faith can be measured. As a matter of fact, in the measurement of faith, Jesus says that if you only have the faith of a mustard seed, right? And in another instance, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they ask him to do something for them. And he said, what? And I think it was Peter that said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. So with that in mind, you have to understand that on a scale of 1 to 100, you know, people like, any of the big preachers you can think about, right? Whoever it is that you know that's a big time preacher, man, they were probably given a huge measure of faith. Have you just seen those people that live such godly lives that you're like, how do you do that? You know, I struggle. Well, they've been given more faith than we do. And you can increase your faith by doing a few things, but you have to understand that not everybody is on your faith level. Not everybody is on your faith level. Some people have a little, some people have a lot. If you have a lot of faith, don't look down on somebody that just has a little. You know what I mean? It's like me. I don't look down on Brad Pitt because he doesn't have the rugged, dangerous look that makes swooning imminent. Brad Pitt does not have what I have, but I'm not going to, like, rub that in his face. His very normal, not ruggedly, dangerously handsome face. Right? We can't look down on people that have less than we do. Poor Brad Pitt. We love you, Brad Pitt. But you know what? This story could change everything if we could learn to do three things. Never assume, never argue, and don't get angry at those that don't have what you have. Be gentle. Now that we started Save the Cowboy, I know me and Ty and Mitch have probably dealt with more people that had a great love of cowboying that never had the opportunities that us three men had. And so we have really learned what that looks like. You can look the part, but if you don't have the skills to go with it, you don't criticize those people, you help them grow. And you don't do it by telling them how bad they stink at everything. You know what I mean? You grab a hold of something, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But see, I didn't say all of this. Romans 14 does. And I also want to point out that you know that primarily I preach out of the New Living Translation. We will be doing so again today with a big dose of Simplified Cowboy Version, okay? But the New Living Translation, if you have one of those, you know, a lot of times there'll be like little subheadings that kind of tell you what this part's about, and then there'll be another heading that tells you what this part's about. There's only one heading, and it's not a biblical heading. It's something that the publishers put in there to give you an idea of what that section is about. But at the very start of Romans chapter 14 in the New Living Translation, it has one heading for the entire chapter, and it says this: the danger of criticism. The entire chapter is about the danger of criticism. Romans chapter 14, verse 1, New Living Translation. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. It's already nearly impossible, isn't it? Doesn't it seem like it's saying don't argue with people that are wrong. Keep your hand down if that's really easy for you to do. No, not really. like, haven't we all done that? No, that ain't right. We got to show everybody how knowledgeable and smart and cool we are. Right? Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with about them about what's right or wrong. The Simplified Cowboy Version says this: quit arguing with those that are with a weaker faith than yours. Just quit arguing with people, okay? Quit arguing with people that have a weaker faith than you. See, I wasn't raised on a ranch. We had 42 sections at Kynosa, Texas, whenever I was 2 years old. And when I was 2 years old, my great-grandmother, my dad had it stocked with about 300 head of cattle. And my grandmother said, meet me in town for lunch. So he went to town, my great-grandmother, his grandmother. He went to town to eat lunch with his grandmother, and she said, you got 2 weeks, get off the ranch. I sold it. And so from the time I was two until I was a junior in high school, I was a city kid. I mean, we lived in the city. And then when I was a junior in high school, my dad went to work for the Rocker B Ranch. And now I had done some rodeos and stuff like that, but like what you think of as me being raised as a cowboy and different, much different than Ty and Mitch. They were doing things at 8 years old that I wasn't doing until I was 23 years old. So don't get it mixed up. Until I was probably a junior in high school, I wasn't a working ranch cowboy. Now, I've been riding since I was little, okay? But there was no working cattle. There was none of that, right? My dad was the elected sheriff of Reagan County. And so, but I worked hard. Whenever Dad moved out to the Rocker B, I just fell in love with the lifestyle and the work and the tradition of it. And so I'd help them all the time on the Rocker B. And then actually, after high school, the Rocker B hired me, because I had done a good job. And so I worked hard to make myself a cowboy. And then after college, I even got a job on the San Pedro Ranch all by myself. That was my first ranch job away from daddy. You know what I mean? Like, you just go day work with your dad, everything's with your dad. Well, this was 6 hours away and they didn't even know my dad, right? So I got a job all by myself in South Texas, right on the border of Mexico. I was the only one on the ranch who spoke English. And that's where I aprender mi español, right? And I got myself a ranch job in South Texas, and I worked 600 hours for $600 a month, 9 days a week. It's a great job. Great job. 150-degree heat at midnight, 300 during the day. It's amazing. Y'all should all be cowboys. Come talk to me about it. We'll talk about college. It was on that ranch that I actually seriously remember the very first horse in a pasture that you're not even sure exactly where you're at, that tried to buck me off in the middle of nowhere. You can't even see another human. And here I am, man, life is good. It's an overcast morning in South Texas, temperature about 82 degrees, beautiful. And life is good. And I'm trotting out across this pasture on this black horse named Conejo, which means rabbit. Jackrabbit. True story. I'm trotting along. I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. Wearing my six. Pretty much word for word. Word for word. Peed myself. Whole nine yards. No, I didn't pee myself yet. I was, okay, scared's not the right word. I've been bucked off a million times. It's not that I was scared. It was that I've got a new ranch job. I'm out here with people that don't even speak English. And I don't even know where to walk to if I come off. And so my butt cheeks grew teeth, right, and latched on, and that horse would have had to fell out of the sky for me to come off of it. And finally he quit bucking, and I was so, I mean, like, adrenaline pump, I mean, I'm wild-eyed, and I'm like, I did it. I did it, because you've heard me say it. If a horse farted, I fell off. Okay, I was not a bronc rider at that time. My goodness. So I finally get up there. Dude, I'm like the world's greatest cowboy. They should give me a buckle. Right? That's the way I felt at the time. But old Cornejo, he still wasn't real keen on me being on the back of him. And so I hate to say this, but I had that poor horse. I wasn't just in his mouth. I was camping in his mouth. And his ears, I could blow on his ears. I had him pulled up so high. Like, I didn't even have the reins. I just had the bit. Right? Go this way. You are not getting your head back. Right? That was how I was riding that horse. Now, I said nobody spoke English on the ranch. Nobody that worked on the ranch spoke English. But this was a big gathering, and some people had come in. And we finally get to the end of the gathering. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Still got my horse by the bit. And he's fighting me, and I'm thinking he's going to buck me off. And as on top of the world as I was, this guy rode over to him, and he goes, nothing that I can repeat at church, but let me summarize what he said. You get out of that horse's mouth right now. And I went from up here right? Man, I was so embarrassed. He was right, too. Isn't that worse when they tell you something and they're right? How dare them? Did they not just see what happened? I just won the Olympics. And an Academy Award. Oh, what's a Grammy? Not an Academy Award, Grammy. See, I wanted to be a cowboy. And being a cowboy comes with some rough, hard learning lessons. And I thought it would be cool one day, this is before preaching, I thought it'd be cool to work cattle all over the country. Just to see new country. Kind of like, was it Lonesome Dove? Nothing like seeing new country, or was it new country on an old horse? Or is that good horse through new country? What's that from? Is it Lonesome Dove? I thought it was Monty Walsh for a second. But anyway, I thought it would be cool to work cattle across the nation. And luckily, by God's grace, I've been able to do that. Right? But it turns out that people from Texas don't know nothing about cowboying or cattle. I guess only in Texas do we have that knowledge, because when a Texan goes out of Texas, they're an idiot. Every single one of them. We're just idiots. We don't know nothing. We don't know nothing. I got here and I was incessantly harassed by people up here for being from Texas. And then me wanting to learn a different culture, I bought me a Wade saddle and a 60-foot rope. And man, I'm all about learning. I don't care which way's necessarily right or wrong. I want to get to know people. I want to ride with people, learn it their way. Well, then whenever I got a Wade saddle, guess who I caught heck from? Everybody in Texas. You want to talk about can't win? Kevin can't win. We're going to get some t-shirts made. Kevin can't win, right? I got made fun of for tying on here, and I got made fun of in Texas for dallying. I don't really know what to do anymore. Don't know what to do. Turns out that you're supposed to stay in the round pen longer than when they quit bucking the very first time. That's the way we did it. You got on, when they quit bucking, they opened the gate, and you went out in the pasture. Turns out that that's not the way everybody does it, right? And we always got back to the pen together. Well, most of the time. We always got back to the pen. Sometimes together, sometimes separately, but we always, every 100%, we both made it back. But I've worked cattle now from Missouri to Colorado to New Mexico to California. And don't forget, nobody forgets Texas. And I've even worked cattle in Mexico, a different country. I've gathered cattle and worked cattle in a different country. I also wrestled a mammoth rhinoceros sheep at the orphanage in Mexico. Ask Memo and Renee about it. Me and Abe Fair, I didn't even know they made sheep this big. That sheep was about this big. I'd never seen one like it, and it tried to kill me and Abe, and we showed them that that wasn't possible. We kind of harassed their sheep. So, but we need to absolutely, listen, this is the point. We need to absolutely stop criticizing people for doing things differently than we do. Remember, the title in the New Living Translation of this whole chapter is The Danger of Criticism. This is what I've learned from Cowboy in many different parts of this country and another one, okay? Nobody will do things like you do them. Not a single person. Nobody will do it the way you would do it. If you took time to listen to their way instead of telling everyone the way you would do it, you would learn that the way everybody does things, they do it that way because it works best for them, with their experience, with their equipment, with their manpower, with their resources. It's easy to go onto a ranch and go, well, my gosh, I wouldn't do it like that, and I wouldn't do it like that, and I wouldn't do it like that. And that's, blah, 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 blah. And that's, my goodness. You have no idea what those people go through and everything. And you know what? Maybe they could learn something to do a little better, but it works for them. And it ain't your place. Shut up. Or King, I'm sorry, we're not supposed to say shut up, so we'll use King James. Keep thine pie hole closed. Okay? That's the King James Version. Listen, we need to be happy to learn about different ways of doing things. Different training styles, different cattle breeds, different tack. You don't have to do it that way. Find something good. Ask questions. Learn from people. Instead of just, that's not the way I do it. That's not the way I do it. That's not the way I do it. Well, then don't do it that way. But quit trying to tell other people. You know what I mean? Listen, doing it that way is a lot better than looking down our noses at different hat sizes and creases, different rope lengths and usages, different preferences, and different types of country. Because listen, let's find something to celebrate and let's focus on that. Let's find some commonality and focus on that, not the differences. Because listen, anyone can spot a turd in a pool. You know what I mean? Anybody can spot a turd in a pool. It takes somebody special to smell a rose in a pasture full of weeds. God asks us to find the rose in the weeds, not the turd in the pool, okay? And I know that's like, you shouldn't say that. Well, welcome to Save the Cowboy. We call it like it is. Oh, you know what I really put? I changed it, I forgot. Let me rephrase that. Listen, anybody can spot a turd in the pool, it takes somebody special to smell the rose in a pasture full of coconuts. Right? That's what I actually had in my notes. Forgot about that. And you know what? Believe it or not, this is exactly what the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? This is straight out of the good book. Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God on our own. Why do you criticize? Why do you condemn another believer? In the Simplified Cowboy Version, it says this. So why do you keep quarreling with others who ride for God? What gives you the right to look down your nose at them? We will all stand in front of the boss one day to be judged. Romans 14:10. Years later, I was back in Stockton. I worked for the prison. I worked horseback for the prison. So prisons are kind of like cop schedules. You know, it's like 4 days on, 2 days off, or, you know, whatever. But when you worked horseback at the prison, it was a Monday through Friday job, so I had every weekend open, so I'd go day work. And so I showed up just north of Fort Stockton to day work, and this guy I used to know named Kevin Weatherby, he was there, and he was hungover because it was a Saturday morning about 5:30 in the morning, and that Kevin had not gone to sleep yet. That's not true. I did not want to be out there that morning. I really don't remember. All I remember is I didn't want to be there. You ever volunteered to do something? Yeah, I'll come help. And then that morning you're like, what was I thinking? Every time. I am a moron. I gave up my day off for this. Right? So I get there.
You can always spot the day workers. They smell like beer and they can't find the hole on their cinch, right? So I'm over there, I'm getting my horses saddled, I'm getting ready. And there's this old man. And anytime you pull into a place, everybody kind of parks, kind of the same direction and everything. But this old guy, he pulled off, and instead of just pulling in, he had turned around so like all the backs of the trailers were facing the same way where I was. But he had pulled over here, and his truck was facing everything. And when I'd got on my horse, I was kind of doing some circles, and I saw why he had parked over there. He could barely get out of that truck. And he'd gone to the back and unloaded his horse. And he had to sit down on the edge of his trailer and try to get his boots on. And then trying to get his leggings buckled. This dude was probably, honest to goodness, he's probably 80. Probably took him 20 minutes to get his boots and leggings on. I didn't want to get up there. I didn't want to get up that morning at 3:30 to go work cattle in the heat. But he had parked a little far from everyone else so that no one else would see his struggle. But someone did see his struggle. I saw his struggle, and that's when I realized that I was there that day only out of a sense of self-glory. See, I thought cowboys were the coolest people in the world, toughest people in the world. I wanted to be just like them. I just didn't want to do the work that they put in to get there. At least not that day, I didn't. Not that day. I wasn't out there that day because I wanted to be a cowboy. I was out there that day because I thought I was cool. But that man wasn't out there for his glory, was he? No. He was there because it made him feel alive, even though it hurt. He was there because he loved it. When his heart is happy, the body don't hurt so much. He was there for love. I was there for glory. And I learned a lesson from that old man. Isn't it weird how you remember something from 30 years ago like it happened yesterday, and you can just vividly picture it exactly in your mind. The weather, the smells, the sounds, everything. He was there for love. I was there for some self-gained glory. But today, I'm not here for my glory. I learned that from that old man. I'm here for God's glory today because I love it. Not because it's easy. Not because it's fun a lot of times. Well, most of the time, it's not fun. I love this part. It's when I leave and right before I come back that's the hard part. Not preaching, right? You see, respect isn't earned by being the best or brightest or fastest or handiest. It's made in the quiet struggle of everyday life. The quest that we've been given by God is to take you, the character that God made you to be, is to take our character, who God called us to be, and let Him make us the best version of who we can be for Him. That's our quest, okay? We take ourselves to the highest potential through love and obedience to God. That's how you reach your full potential. Not riding horses best, not raising the best cattle, not having the big living quartered horse trailer, you know, not having a $30,000 horse or a handmade hat. We take ourselves to the highest potential through love and obedience to God. There is no map to your potential. There's no map. But there is a man. There is a man. And he will guide you if you'll shut your eyes to the world and open your heart to him and understand the dangers of criticizing anybody else. Romans 14, 17 through 19, New Living Translation. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then let us aim for harmony in the church. And that's not Save the Cowboy. That's the group of all believers, no matter what denomination. All right? So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. If you want it in the Simplified Cowboy version, I'll leave you with this. God's outfit isn't about what you eat or drink. But living the honorable life of a cowboy who rides for the brand. You live this way by following the Holy Spirit. Ride for Christ with an attitude like this and God will be pleased. Not only that, but you'll gain the respect of others. Ride as one and help each other out in order to build the crew. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you. And God, thank you for not just criticizing. I mean, you don't treat us like we treat others, God. You come to us with forgiveness and grace and mercy, and then we turn around and just dish the opposite out to others. God, help us to change all of our lives today by saying we are going to make a conscious effort to know the danger of criticism, that there's an entire chapter in the Bible about criticizing other believers that may not have the faith that we have. God, help us to be better than that. Help us to be better than those around us. God, this world accuses us of, you just think you're better than everybody else. We should be better than everybody else because we follow the one true God. But we use that betterment to help others, not to criticize them. God, this world could be revolutionary changed with this one concept. And it's in Jesus' name I pray.